How many of you know that life on this planet can be overwhelming at times? Can I get an amen? I mean, really overwhelming. I mean, there's so much that life throws at us. Life is full of challenges. It's full of adversities. We go through various types of circumstances. Even here today, you may be facing maybe a mountain of debt. You might be dealing with a failed relationship, an abusive relationship. Maybe you're dealing with an illness in your body. You know, maybe you're trying to just make ends meet. Maybe there's just some kind of recurring problem in your life and you're trying to get victory over it. Well, I am here today to tell you that it does not have to be overwhelming, whatever it is, because with God on your side, you are victorious. And to have Jesus Christ in our life is to have the spirit of a conqueror. Now, if you've been around my preaching and teaching any amount of time, I always like to quote 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Well, the devil's the one that's in the world. But the one who's living inside of us is greater than the devil. His name is Jesus. Do you know him? Do you know him, my friends? You got to know him. You can't just know about him. You have to know him. So in our sermon series, we have been preaching in the month of September entitled In It to Win It. We have kind of tied it into the football theme. It's football season now. And NFL season, big game today with New Orleans and the Rams. And I'm not going to give a prediction today because you're probably not going to like my prediction. But I'm not going to give a prediction today because my predictions are 99% accurate. All right, so next week I'll tell you what my prediction was. See how smart I am? Hallelujah. But we're going to talk about the spirit of a conqueror. We are in it to win it. We are in it with God to win it. Can I get an amen? All right, I love this incredible promise that Jesus gives us in John 16:33. Because Jesus is teaching us how to triumph over trouble. And thank God that we can triumph over trouble. All right, so listen to what he says. He says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world in which we are living, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you." My friend, that is the spirit of a conqueror. And we're going to talk about that today. That's what this message is entitled, The Spirit of a Conqueror. Hallelujah. I want you to begin to think different. See, I believe as we go through life, and all the traumas we experience, all the things we endure, you know, we go through a lot of, just like he says here, a lot of frustrations. All of us have had times of frustration in our lives. People have disappointed us in our lives. Expectations have not been met in our lives. All of these things, my friends, they affect us. And I believe a lot of times we get programmed to think a certain way. Well, I want you to reprogram according to truth. And I believe this is why God says in his word that we must renew our mind to think differently. I use this illustration, you know, a few weeks ago now. You know, Tiger Woods, a great golfer. You know, of course, he won the Masters this year. What a great comeback. You know, but he's over 40 now. And he's got some health issues. But I mean, the guy, you know, all these young golfers that you have today, they are all modeling him, you know, because he was the greatest, you know. And his father, Earl Woods, he shares this story. Growing up as a boy, he drilled that into his mindset Tiger, you're going to be the best there ever was. You're going to break every record that's ever been held. You're going to beat everybody. You're going to win every tournament. You're going to smash all of the presently standing records. You know, for most PGA tours won, most major PGA tours won. And he said he drilled that over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And he said, and I just began to believe it. You know, what would happen if we could get God's truth speaking to us over and over and over? I believe that's why God says in his word that we should meditate upon his word. Amen. Memorize his word. Get his word in you. Because if you get the truth of his word in you, you will think differently. And the book of Proverbs says, as a person thinks in their heart, that's the direction their life will go. So if I begin to think victoriously, if I begin to think as a conqueror, then there is nothing that can beat me. There's nothing that can win over me. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world. Hallelujah. So Jesus gave us the promise right here in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 33. All right, Paul, I believe, understood that incredible truth because he further expounded on it in the book of Romans, chapter 8, when Paul said this. This is verse 35. He said, who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering and affliction and tribulation, notice all of these are question marks, or calamity, or distress? What is the answer to those questions, my friend? Can suffering, affliction, or tribulation separate us from Christ's love? The answer is no. Can calamity, distress separate us? The answer is no. Can persecution, hunger, destitution, peril, sword? The answer is no. He said, even as it is written, for thy sake we are put to death all day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Direct quote from Psalms 44, verse 22. Jesus always quoted the Psalms himself. He said, yet amid all these things, this is a verse I want you to get, verse 37. He said, yet amid all these things, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the challenges, all the adversities, all of the things that seem so overwhelming. He said, all of those things, we are more than conquerors. And we gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us. For I am persuaded. Now think of that statement. I am persuaded. I am completely 100% convinced that victory is mine. Nothing can take it from me. No devil, no demon, no sickness, no disease, not even death itself can take it from me. That's why I said I'm persuaded. Beyond doubt, I am sure, nor death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, things impending and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That ought to make us want to dance and shout right there. Amen? That ought to just make us want to just do a little dance. How many of you know sometimes when you're going through trouble, you just need to do a little dance? I'm serious. Learn how to do a little dance. The Bible, you don't listen. David didn't dance because he was at a Saints game. Come on, somebody. David danced when he was going through something. And he'd get in the presence of God and he'd get revelation. And then all of a sudden he'd do a little dance. That's why the Bible says David danced before the Lord. Amen. He danced before the Lord. Sometimes you just got to dance your way through it. Amen. You got to dance, praise your way through it, worship your way through it. Because thank God, that's the key right there. You're going through it. Come on, somebody. You might be in it, but you're going through it because you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Let's understand these terms. The word conqueror is from this Greek word. It means to be over and above. It means to gain a surpassing victory, to be preeminently victorious. No, I don't know about you, but watching that Saints game Monday night, I was ticked off in that last minute. How could they possibly allow in two plays with what, 50 seconds left or whatever it was, two plays. I'm glad I wasn't there. Because I'm sure they probably had their heads down. But thank God we got Drew Brees. And we got Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn. Y'all didn't know I knew all these players' names like that, did you? And we got Will Lutz. But they won the game. They were conquerors, but they were not more than conquerors. So let's understand that term. Because that's what it says. He says, we are more than conquerors. All right, so that phrase, more than conquerors, it means to not only achieve victory, but it means to be overwhelmingly victorious. Overwhelming. An overwhelming victory. All right, so here's a little Saints trivia for you today. Little Saints trivia. I'm going to give you a question. Which Saints game in the history of the club did they win by the widest margin? Okay, y'all were here for the first service. Y'all leaders here, y'all don't answer this. Y'all be cheating. Amen, because y'all already know the answer. Does anybody know the answer? What is the what? You know the answer? Hey, well, we got some statisticians here. Is that the right word? Statisticians? Statisticians? Statisticians here with us today. That's right. Widest margin of victory, 2011, game against the Indianapolis Colts, 62-7. 55-point margin of victory. Now, that, my friend, is what it means to be more than a conqueror. In other words, there's no question of who's the better team. No question. All right, here's another little bit of trivia for you. This one's not so good. All right. What was the largest margin of defeat in the history of the club did the Saints lose by? And to who? Does anybody know? Nope. Good. Anybody else? Good try. You don't? Come on. All right. Well, you have to go back a little further for this one. You got to go back to 1973. And the Saints were beat 62-7 by, do we dare say it? The Atlanta Falcons. No, stop the madness. 1973, game against the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta beat the Saints 62-7. Well, praise God, we're better today. Amen? We're better today. Hallelujah. Largest margin of victory. See, those are illustrations of overwhelming victories. And that's exactly what the phrase more than conquerors mean. It means that we don't only achieve victory, there is absolutely no question and no doubt who the winner is. And that's why Paul said, we are more than conquerors. All right, so I want to talk to you about developing that spirit of a conqueror. All right, the first key to developing the spirit of a conqueror is what Jesus said to us in John 16 when he said, in me. If you are in me, we must be in Christ and not in the world. Are y'all with me? He said, in me, you have perfect peace. In me, you have confidence. In the world, as tribulation and trial and distress and frustration, all of those things. But in Christ, we have victory. Because in Christ, we have salvation. That's why I love the prophet Isaiah. And this verse that we find in his book of the Bible, Old Testament, chapter 61, verse 10. The prophet said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. All right, why? What's the reason? What's the purpose behind it? For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. My friend, that is the picture of being in Christ. I am clothed with the garment of salvation. When you are right with God and you are walking with God, there is a level of faith and confidence that is operating in you. That's why I love the story. We've heard it in Sunday school for years and kids ministry for years. You know, the story of David and Goliath. You know, and David was just a teenager. And, you know, he came up against this great warrior. The odds were against him. But David had confidence in God. His confidence was in God. He says, I don't know who this uncircumcised Philistine thinks he is, that he can defy the armies of the living God. But he's coming down. Hallelujah. And he showed up with a rock and a slingshot. The Bible actually says he had, I think, five stones. Commentators try to figure out, you know, why did he have five stones? Somebody suggested because they thought Goliath had brothers. So he was ready for all of them. Hallelujah. But he only needed one shot. Amen. One shot. He was confident. He understood. He had a revelation. See, he was walking in righteousness. When you are walking in right relationship with God, there is a level of power, anointing, and authority that is operating in your life. That's why we have to always guard the anointing. We have to guard it. Because old Slewfoot wants to get us in the world. He wants to get us into sin. He wants to trip us up, but the key to a conqueror is that we must be in Christ and we must remain in Christ. And that's why Jesus taught us in John 15, John 16. He said, if you abide in me, he said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me, you're going to produce something. There's going to be fruit. There's going to be a prosperity. You know, all of those things are going to manifest in your life if you remain in me. He said, if I am in you, if my word is in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. I mean, Jesus did teach that. See, he taught us the power of being in Christ. Amen. I must remain in Christ. That's the first principle. That's the first key of the spirit of a conqueror, because it's in Jesus. So I got to keep my relationship with Jesus up to date. Amen. I got to keep it fresh. I got to keep it active. And how many, my friend, unfortunately, fail to do that so many times? And nobody said it would be easy, because he said in the world, we got all this stuff coming at us, right? We got all these challenges coming, all this adversity coming at, you know, all of these things that are in the world. So I have to remain in Christ and not in the world. The Apostle John summed it up in the first epistle of John when he said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. What a great verse. What a great principle. The key is to remain in Christ. Let me move on to the next thing. See, we have to learn to not confess our disability. Confess your ability and not your disability. We have to learn how to do that. See, we have to overcome negativity because we live in a world full of negativity. All right, but consider this. What shall we say? This is Romans 8:31. What shall we say then to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe or our enemy if God is on our side? If God be for me, who can be against me? Now, rather than say, I can't take it anymore, why don't we learn how to say, I can do all things through Christ who lives within me? That's Philippians 4:13. See, the devil disables, but God enables. Remember, we have the spirit of a conqueror. Greater is he who is on the inside, but the question is, do you and I believe it? Do we believe it? See, because it's all based upon faith. Everything is based upon faith. That's why the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And he goes on and he tells us that by faith they stopped the mouths of lions. They stopped the violence of the sword. They saw the dead raised back to life. All of these things were done by faith. Amen? That's why the devil is always after our faith. He wants to steal your faith. And he attacks in weakness. I always say this. The devil doesn't attack us where we're strong. That's no strategy. He knows where our weakness is. And that's exactly where he goes. That's exactly the area that he attacks. And how many times do people say, I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. Get that out of your vocabulary. And don't say you can't take it anymore. Begin to say, I can do all things. I can do more than I ever dreamed I could do. Because I'm not dependent upon human potential. I'm not believing in myself. I'm believing in the one who is on the inside of me. He's the one that I'm connected to. He's the one that I'm trusting in. He's the one that I am believing. Hallelujah. And if I grab a hold of the Christ life, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That, my friend, is the spirit of a conqueror. But we have to program our mind. I believe that's why the Word of God says that we have to renew our mind. You got to renew it. It has to think differently. Amen? It has to think differently. We have to have the right concepts and the right mentality. That's why Earl Woods, you're going to be the best there ever was. You're going to break every record there ever was. You're going to be the best golfer. You're going to shatter it. He just fed it and fed it and fed it and fed it and fed it until that young boy just began to believe it. And then look what he did. I mean, I'm sure that were it not for physical problems and personal issues that got him derailed, I'm sure he would have conquered and won every. I believe he would have broke Jack Nicklaus' record. I mean, he still could do it. He still could do it, but it's going to be harder because, of the physical limitations. But he still can do it, And listen, we have to live with that I can do it mentality. Hallelujah. I can do it. See, we convince ourselves, I can't be free from this problem. I can't. If we could just learn how to walk in the authority of the conqueror, if we could just learn how to lay hold on, David did not one moment doubt that 10-foot giant was coming down. And when he came down, David went over there and whacked his head off. Hallelujah. And then held it up for all to see. Boy, that had to be a sight. Amen. And all of Israel was in amazement. Because they didn't know that was going to be the next king of Israel. The next king. He would replace Saul, who turned away from God. Turned away from God. He would be the next king of Israel. Now, we all know David had his mistakes, right? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And he got seduced by that naked woman on the building. Amen. She was doing her layout for the Sports Illustrated Swim Edition. David caught a glimpse of that, and he said, whoa. Come on, somebody. Amen. So he had his problems. He had his mistakes. But thank God he didn't stay there. How many people stay there? Listen, if we mess up, that's why I love the book of Proverbs. Proverbs says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets up again. Hallelujah. And it might just be on the 8th time, he might get it right. Hallelujah. It might be the 9th or 10th time, but he might get it right. Thank God that we don't have to stay in it. We can get out of it and be forgiven and continue to move forward. I got to have the spirit of a conqueror. Here's the third thing. We have to stand firm against the devil. James 4:7. He tells us in the book of James that the devil is like a roaring lion, seeking. He's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And he tells us that we must submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Two key things here. Two key things. You can't miss this. See, because a lot of people, they want to quote the resist part, but but they don't quote the submit part. A friend of mine, I used to challenge him on some areas in his life. He's going on to be with the Lord now. I hope he's with the Lord. And I challenged him on some things in the Word of God, and he said, man, I know a better page. I know a better page. Well, Paul said, I declare the whole counsel. Amen? See, sometimes we have to correct, rebuke, exhort. We've kind of lost those ministries in present modern-day Christianity because nobody wants to be corrected, right? I had to correct some of this years ago now, a guy in the church. And the funny thing about it, he came to me, and he said, when he came to the church, he said, now, Pastor, he said, listen, if I'm ever out of line on something, and if you ever need to correct me, then you do it because I can handle it. I said, well, great, man. I'm so glad to hear you say that. And don't you know that it was a few months later that he was doing some things that I had to correct. I had to bring correction. Pulled him on the side, and I said, listen, man. I said, you know, when the service, he was wanting to pray for people, and it was all good intentions, you know, but when the service is on, the meeting is on. And the Spirit of God is moving in the meeting. And he's moving through the Word. And he's moving at the altar. Amen? So I had to correct him. I said, look, man, you can't do that. Now, I didn't tell him. Now, before I say this, you told me you could handle it. You know, but it was just the next week. Well, Pastor, the Lord's leading me on. Y'all go ahead. Because I know, I've been doing this long enough to know, the Lord ain't leading you on. It's a submit problem. Amen? It's a submission problem. So God says, you want to have the spirit of a conqueror? First of all, you got to learn how to submit to him. You submit to his word. You submit to the authority of God's word. All right, so those are key words. The word submit, it simply means to submit oneself, to obey, to be in obedience. That's what it means. To submit oneself, to obey, to be in obedience. I don't just read God's word to have head knowledge. I read God's word to see what is God speaking to me and what are the areas of my life that I need to bring into alignment with his spirit. See, that's how Bible study should operate. Amen? Because the scripture says knowledge puffs people up. It gets lifted up with pride. So I don't read from that perspective. Now listen, we all need to educate ourselves and have a better understanding of God's word. But we should always do it with the admonition that I am looking to hear, to have a word. What is God saying? What is God speaking to me? And what are the areas of my life? Is there any areas of weakness in my life? Do I have any blind spots in my life? Are there areas in my life that I can't see or out of line? That's why David said, try me and search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Now, how many of you know God didn't need to see if he was wicked or had any wicked way? He needed to see it. God sees everything. He knows it all. But sometimes we don't see it. So that's why he said, try me and search me, see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of life everlasting. So I read God's word to say, God, what are you speaking to me today? How can I apply this into my daily life? Because that is how the spirit of a conqueror works. So you submit yourself in obedience to God because you're walking in his way. So that's why David said in the Psalms that the steps of the righteous, they are ordered by God. Are y'all with me? The steps of the righteous are ordered. When you are walking with God, there is a level of faith and confidence that is operating in your life. Hallelujah. It's operating. Now, if we go into an area of darkness, if we make a sin choice, or there's some area of weakness we give into, then immediately we lose that level of confidence. Because then condemnation comes into the heart. You know, we are convicted. But once we get out of that and we get back on the right road, my friend, that authority kicks in once again. Hallelujah. See, and that's the only way you can resist the devil. Because the word resist, it means to take a stand and to position oneself against. When Becky and I were ordained into ministry in 1983, and three men laid hands on us. Her father, Pastor Paul Hunt, brother-in-law, her sister Paulette's husband, Pastor Bill Mason, and at the time, the chairman of our ministers' organization, Worldwide Evangelism, those three men, all are with Jesus now, those three men laid hands on us and ordained us into ministry. And I remember my father-in-law giving me some admonition and telling me, he says, I want you to understand that, you know, the book of Ephesians is fundamental to really preaching and teaching with purpose and authority. He said, you've got to understand that book. And it's become one of my favorite books of the Bible. And, you know, in that book, we find that incredible teaching of the position of a believer. Is that every born-again child of God has been granted a position. And that position is, you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places and blessed with all spiritual blessings. Again, the phrase, in Christ. You have to be in Christ. We have a position. God has granted us, if you're a born-again child of God, you have a position. You have a kingdom position. You have kingdom power. You have kingdom authority. And we are able, according to what Paul said in the book of Romans, we are able to rule in this life and not have this life rule us. I remember when I got born again and I was 18 years old and trying to walk it out, and all of my friends that were trying to bring me back into sin, I never knew there was so much free dope until you got born again. I'm serious. Until you got born again, I didn't totally understand it then, but I understand it now. You know, because it's old Slewfoot, you know, trying to derail. You know, listen, when you leave the devil's camp, he's ticked. He's ticked. And he wants you back as one of his servants, one of his slaves. Amen? But thank God Jesus said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. And I didn't understand all that authority thing, but somewhere along the line, I got this message. You have authority. I was like, wait, what? I have authority? So I got up early every morning. I began to cry out to God, pray and seek the face of God, immerse myself in his word, and then I was ready for the fight. Hallelujah. Because now, that position, you see, the position, it's a position of authority. You can only stand firm against the devil when you are submitted to the righteousness of God and you are resisting him, and then you are executing it because of your position of authority that has been given to you in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. Let me move on. I'm almost done. Here's the fourth thing. See, a conqueror doesn't get stuck in the middle. There was a song long ago, back in the 70s, Stuck in the Middle with You. Anybody remember that song? Clowns to the left, jokers to the right, stuck in the middle with you. Now, I don't know all the meaning of that song, so if some of y'all have insight on that song and maybe it doesn't have some good meaning, you'll have to excuse me because, you know, I'm not aware of whatever that may be. But man, how true. How does that sum up life? Clowns to the left and jokers to the right, stuck in the middle with you. See, a conqueror doesn't get stuck in the middle. How many of you know everything in life has a beginning and it has an ending? Life has a beginning and it has an ending. Education, you start off in kindergarten, pre-K, then you go through elementary school, then you go through middle school or junior high, then you go through high school, and then you enter the real world, right? Because you have officially arrived, an adult, still stupid, but an adult. Because remember the front lobe of the brain don't kick in until age 25. This was proven by medical science. You know, once I read that and understood that, I was like, now I know why I made so many stupid decisions. It wasn't all working. Amen. It wasn't working. The insurance companies must understand that. Have you tried to get insurance for your 17 or 18-year-old child? It's out the roof. And I believe they put on a disclaimer on there. The brain ain't working yet. It's a little asterisk. You know, here's the reason why it's so high. The brain ain't working all the way yet. Yeah. But, you know, it all has a beginning and an ending. You know, so then you graduate high school. So then you choose your career path. You know, whether you enter the workforce, whether you go to college, or whether you go to a trade school. You know, but it has a beginning point and it has an ending. You know, and it's what we do with the middle part. See, the middle part. That's why you can't get stuck in the middle. And I love this illustration that Jesus gave us in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. And he was talking about the cost of discipleship and following him, you know, being sold out to Jesus Christ. How many of you know there is no such thing as half and half Christianity? You might put it in your coffee, but you can't put it in your faith. Come on, somebody. Amen. There's no half and half with God. Amen. It's all in. All right. So Jesus said in verse 28, Luke 14, 28, he said, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" I remember years ago, a guy asked me a question. I worked with this guy, and he had a lot of questions about God and spiritual things, and was always asking questions. And one time he brought up the subject of tithing to the local church, and he said, "Well, I was going to the Baptist church." He said, "I went to the Baptist pastor and I asked him. I said, Pastor Ken, his name was Ken. He said, 'Pastor Ken, I'm a little confused on tithing. Do you tithe on the net or on the gross?'" Well, the pastor, being a wise man of God, he said, "Well, Rob, do you want to be blessed on the net or on the gross?" Hey, that's a biblical response, because with the same measure you measure out, it'll be measured back. Amen? So, listen, not to get on that subject, but this is kind of, you know, this guy had a lot of questions like that. You know, so we were talking about finances, and he asked me this question. He said, "Have you ever gone out and just bought something without, even telling your wife about it, and just made a huge purchase? You didn't tell your wife, and you knew you were buying something that you really could afford." And I said, "Heck no." I said, "First of all, my wife would kill me. And second of all, that would be stupid. Who wants to buy something they can't afford to pay for?" It's like the guy in the church in Texas went and bought a brand spanking new Cadillac, got him a personalized license plate on it. Personalized license plate said "prayed for." He used to park it right at the front of the church. The pastor would pass by and he's like, "Man, that is one fine Cadillac, man. Congratulations, man." He said, "That is a beautiful, beautiful vehicle." Well, several months later, he noticed that he wasn't parking that Cadillac anymore. He had an old jalopy. And he pulled on inside. He said, "Man," he said, what's up with this, man? Where's the Cadillac? And why are you driving this beat up car?" He said, "Pastor, I couldn't pay the note, and the bank came and got it." The pastor said, "Brother," he says, Next time you get you a nice new car, get you a personalized license plate that says paid for. Come on, somebody. Amen. Because if it's paid for, it can't come get it. Salvation has been paid for. Come on, somebody. Salvation has been paid for by the blood of Jesus, and the devil can't get it. Hallelujah. Thank God that he can't. But everything we undertake in life, it has a beginning and it has an ending. It has a middle. And the middle is where we need the spirit of the conqueror. Because it's in the middle where most people get derailed. The middle of the debt hurdle. You know, I have this mountain of debt. I'm halfway through. But I just saw they got an incredible extra 50% off sale at the mall. I think I'm going shopping. See, the middle, don't get stuck in the middle. How many people get in the middle of education and it just becomes too much? It's demanding too much and they bail out in the middle. See, a conqueror doesn't get stuck in the middle. What about a marriage? How many people are in the middle of a marriage? There are men bailing out of marriages that have been married for 30 and 40 years. What's the point? They get bored or whatever comes in and they bail out. See, they're in the middle of it, but they bail out. We can't get stuck in the middle. So Jesus said right here, if you intend to build a tower, you have to sit down and you have to count the cost. Because the key principle of a conqueror, notice what he says at the end. You have to be able to finish it. I am in this thing to finish it. There are pastors, and I've shared this number before. The statistics by all these that do these church growth studies and put these numbers together, that 1 in 10 pastors who enter the ministry at age 25, and we were ordained in our early 20s. 1 in 10 will finish for God. Only 1 in 10 will still be going strong for God at age 65 and beyond. Only 1 in 10. And I think about that number a lot. You know, because that's the middle, right? That's the middle. And how many bail out? You know, how many? They get tired, they get discouraged, they get depressed. I mean, there was just in the news this week, you know, a young pastor committing suicide. I have no idea what brought that on. But I do know this, that we have to keep a spiritual wall up. And if we don't keep our spiritual wall up and the walls come down, the enemy comes in. And when the enemy comes in, my friends, he's in for keeps. Amen? He wants to come in and take us out. Hallelujah. That's why you got to stay strong for God. Amen. In the middle, don't get stuck in the middle. You're going through it. You know, there's a finishing point. Only 1 in 10. When I look at all the failed ministries, I looked at all the failed ministries, high profile ministers that went down into disgrace back in the 80s. And some of them have rebounded. Some of them have not. You know, there's many that have gone down in the 90s. Some that have gone down just recently. I mean, it's happening all around us. Don't get stuck in the middle. Amen? There has to be we have to finish it. Remember, the sermon series, we are in it to win it. Hallelujah. In it to win it. I have the spirit of a conqueror, and I'm not going to bail out. I'm going to keep going for Jesus because the grace of God is operating within me. I'm not going to be stuck in the middle. Yeah, there's clowns to the left and there's jokers to the right, but I'm not going to be stuck in the middle because God says that I have a position, and I have a position of power, anointing, and authority, and I'm going to stay in that. And I'm going to be on guard. I believe there's a reason why Jesus said, watch and pray. And he said it many times, watch and pray. He said this many times, take heed to yourself. Amen. We find it all through the Word of God, because we can't get stuck in the middle. And I must keep the spirit of a conqueror. And as long as I am in Christ, here's the last and final thing. I will not fall behind. Hallelujah. Man, I'm gonna leave you with this one. I love this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is one of those, to me, this is one of those dance verses right here. Because, man, this just really sums it up. Paul's writing to the believers, and he says this, that you are not consciously falling behind. So there it is. See, a conqueror does not fall behind. You are not consciously falling behind or lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace. So I am not lacking. Do y'all see what this is saying? We're not lacking for power because we have the spirit of the conqueror. So we're not lacking in any special spiritual endowment or Christian grace, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating in your souls by the Holy Spirit. While you wait and watch, constantly, look at this, constantly living in hope. So many are losing hope. My friend, we can't lose hope. He says, for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his being will be made visible to all. There again, keep your eyes on the goal. Everything has a beginning and has an ending. You enter this Christian race, this walk, it has a beginning, it has an ending. But what we do with that middle is where the real battle is. So what an incredible verse of scripture. Can I read just a little more? In verse 8 he said, and he will establish you to the end. He will keep you steadfast. I mean, these are the promises of God, my friends. These are the promises of God. He will give you strength. And look at this. And he will guarantee your vindication. He will be your warrant against all accusation or indictment. In other words, the old devil says, well, you're drunk, you're a drug addict, you're a sex addict, you're a liar, you're a thief, whatever he may be, and you may have been all of that. But if you are in Christ, no more. Hallelujah. No more. Amen. No more. I may have been involved in those things, but that does not define me any longer. So he is telling us, whatever old slew foot, whatever indictment he brings on you, whatever accusation he brings against you, he said, because you are in Christ, you will be guiltless and irreproachable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He is reliable. He is trustworthy. He is therefore ever true to his promise. And he can be dependent on. And by him, you are called into companionship and participation with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You know, I celebrate a physical birthday. They tell me I'm 61. It's what the birth certificate says. I'm disputing it. But, you know, I guess it's right. But that doesn't really matter. Because 43 years ago, I had a spiritual birth. 43 years ago, I was born into Jesus. And growing and maturing for 43 years. So that's the real thing right there. That is what matters more than anything, because it's like anybody ever saw the Mel Gibson movie Braveheart? All men die, but not all men live. That's a line in that movie. All men die, but not all men live. That almost sounds like it came from the Bible. Amen? Because everybody is going to die, but not everybody is going to live. Because the only life is in Jesus Christ.